You are welcome to Miracle Wave Broadcast with Dr. Augustus Okleme, a specialist surgeon and the senior pastor of Miracle Wave Church Worldwide. Stay tuned as we examine the scriptures and taste of God's goodness today. Expect a miracle today. Your testimony is on the way.
Hello and welcome to tonight's edition of Miracle Wave Broadcast. Miracle Wave Broadcast is brought to you by Miracle Wave Church. We are a thriving church. We are in Kumasi. We are in Kuforidua. We believe in Jesus. We believe in His love and His power. We believe in God's goodness that is available to you today. We believe in the entirety of scriptures that is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for rebuke, and for instruction in righteousness. Visit us today. Have an encounter with Jesus and an encounter with His power. We are at Chichiriri, just in the valley, beyond the King's Palace. There's a cement shop called Lucitra. Just behind it, you find Miracle Way Church. You can also find us on your GPS. Just type Miracle Way Church, Glory Temple. We are also in Kuforidua at the Waterworks Junction. God's presence is mighty in this place. Something good is going to happen in your life tonight. This is your pastor, Dr. Augustus. Bow your head with me for a word of prayer. Our good God, we honor you tonight. We thank you for your love that never fails. We thank you for your grace that is unsurpassed. We thank you for your power that is unlimited. We thank you for your mercy that is unending. We ask that you bless us tonight. Do us good. Heal the sick, deliver the oppressed, break the yoke of sickness and disease, set the captives free, save the sinner, restore the backslider, let nothing be the same again. Lord Jesus, manifest yourself. Precious Spirit of God, glorify the Son. Father, reveal your Son to us. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Well, for a while now, we've been talking on a series which I have entitled Good in Every Way. Last week was a blessing. You can access the messages on our podcast handle, Miracle Wave Broadcast. Just type Miracle Wave Broadcast on Podbean and you have our episodes there. Share them with friends and family. These are messages that will transform your life and do you good. Tonight, I'm talking about good at every altitude. Last week I spoke about good in every weather. It's a message you should get or you should listen to. You can also contact us if you want them, but they are on Podbean. And tonight I'm talking about good at every altitude. Every altitude means every height. Okay? He's not limited by height. Every height. That's what an altitude means. High in the sky, high on the mountain, low in the valley, on the plain ground. Okay, these are various altitudes. And you'll notice that God has placed all of these things in life for various reasons. They are not just around us, but we experience different altitudes. There are situations that people may refer to as a mountain kind of experience, high up there. There are times that people feel like they are in a low experience, maybe a valley experience. David spoke of the valley of the shadow of death. Okay, it was an experience that was low for him. But it's good news that we have tonight. That wherever you are and wherever I am, God is still the King of that place. Hallelujah. David was speaking about the Lord Jesus being his shepherd. Let's open to it in Psalm 23. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. David was speaking about a valley situation, a time that was low in his life. He referred to it as the valley of the shadow of death. It seemed to him like death was at every turn. Everywhere he passed, he could see the shadow of death. You see the shadow of a substance. When there is something there, that's when you can see its shadow. So it was as if death was all around him. But David was excited to discover that God was with him. Hallelujah. I came to tell you tonight that you can have a relationship with God such that whichever altitude you are on, you can be assured of his presence. If you don't have his presence and you are in the valley of the shadow of death, you still don't have his presence. But if you have his presence on the mountain and you choose not to leave him, you surely can count on him in the valley of the shadow of death. The Bible gives us a very interesting story. There was this king, Ben-Hadad. When you have the time, you can read it in 1 Kings chapter 20. I'll read portions of it to you. He sent his messengers. Ben-Hadad, he was the king of Syria or Aram. He sent his messengers to Ahab and told Ahab that all that you have is mine. That's in verse 3. Your silver and your gold are mine. So are your wives and the best of your children. For some reason, Ahab kind of agreed. He said, "Oh well, all right, my lord king. All that you have, all that I have is yours." Then Ben-Hadad came to ask for more. Typical of the devil. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Every time you allow the devil an inch, he will take a meter. Every time you allow him a meter, he will take 100. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible said, neither give place to the devil. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you allow him to steal, he'll go ahead and try to kill. Or he'll go ahead and kill. If you allow him to kill, he'll go ahead and destroy. The devil, every time the devil moves into a life, he has a three-pronged approach. He wants to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Hallelujah. But you and I must resist him right from the start. You notice in this scripture, immediately Ahab chose to resist, because the king sent back and said that, "I'm sending my officials tomorrow. They will search your house and the house of your officials, and they will take away everything that you consider valuable." Ahab said no more. When he said that, his elders joined him and said, "Don't give in to any more of this man's demands." And then God sent a messenger, a prophet, to Ahab. He said, "Now that you want to resist him, I have help for you." The prophet said, "God has sent me to you." Verse 13, this is what the Lord says: "Do you see all these enemy forces? Today I will hand them over to you." Hallelujah. "Then you will know that I am the Lord." So Ahab decided to resist the devil, and God sent his support. There are several things that are happening in your life today because you have taken the back seat. Probably don't think that it's big enough, but the devil's first encounter, every time he steps into a person's life, he doesn't start with his worst agenda on his first encounter. But you should know that it is part of his plan. Every time he comes to steal, his plan is that in the end he will destroy you. That's why the Bible says, don't give place to the devil. People play with all sorts of sins. They mess up their lives. They think it's fun. The devil is stealing from you, and you allow it. He will come to kill. He will come to destroy. But when you stand against the devil, that's why the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Yes, so he gathered his armies to go and fight Ben-Hadad, as he had received strength and instruction from the Lord. Now, in verse 20, each Israelite soldier killed his Aramean opponent, and suddenly the entire Aramean army or Syrian army panicked and fled. And the Israelites chased them. But King Ben-Hadad and a few of his charioteers escaped on horses. They were defeated. Hallelujah. When you resist the devil, the Bible says he will flee from you. But notice what happens next. However, the king of Israel destroyed their horses and the chariots and slaughtered the Arameans. The word of God came to Ahab and said, "Get ready for another attack. Begin making plans now, for the king of Aram will come back next spring." Hallelujah. When God gives you a victory, when you are in a mountaintop situation, this battle went on on the mountain, and I'll prove it to you subsequently. Okay, you are in a mountaintop situation. It's not time to sleep. It's not time for parties. The Bible says, get ready. There will be another attack. That means fortify yourself. Strengthen yourself. Strengthen that position that God has placed you in. Strengthen that mountaintop experience. Go deeper in your relationship with God. Buy more weapons. Expand the capacity of your army to fight, because the enemy will come back. Jesus said it, that when an evil spirit is cast out of a person, he goes about and roams in dry places, seeking rest and finds none. So what does he do? The evil spirit comes back to that place, from that place where it was sent out of. What is the spirit saying? Let me go and see my house, if I can get room there again. And he says, when the spirit comes, he finds the place empty, swept, and garnished. Then he goes and brings seven spirits who are more wicked to inhabit the place again. That's why when somebody is set free from sickness, set free from disease, it's not time to say, "Oh, I'm okay, I'm free from this thing," and walk away from God. Those spirits that left you, after a while, they'll come back. They're not coming to possess you or take over your life. They'll only take over or take root if there is room. If the room is not filled with Jesus and filled with his word, if the room is not filled with the knowledge about how to stay free and how to resist the devil. But anytime the enemy comes back, if like the prophet told King Ahab, you are ready for the enemy, no enemy can repossess. No enemy can come back. Nothing that you have been freed from will take over your life again. Say a big amen to that. Hallelujah. Look at verse 22. The prophet said to King Ahab, get ready for another attack, because this king is going to come back next spring. Now, verse 23. After their defeats, Ben-Hadad's officers said to him, listen to that, listen to this, the Israelite gods are gods of the hills, or gods of the mountains, and that is why they won. I told you that mountain, that battle took place on the mountaintop. But we can beat them easily on the plains. They thought that the God Israel serves is limited by altitude. You see, they said this because of their experience. They are different gods who have different strengths in different atmospheres or jurisdictions. Okay, and forgive me for calling them gods. They are idols. Idols. They are not gods. There is only one God. They are different idols, and they have different forms of strength. This idol helps, or this whatever that they worship. They are the ones who call them gods. This one is a whatever god of fertility. This is a god of war. This is a god of the rain. Whatever. But Israel served only one God. These people equated him with the idols that they worship and said, "Oh, their God does well in the hills. Their God does well on the mountains." But that was their mistake. The God that we serve is good on the mountaintop, but the God is what we serve is also good on the plains. And the God that we serve, he is with us even in the valleys. Say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. So truly, verse 26, the following spring, the king of Aram or Syria called up the Aramean army, and they marched out against Israel, this time at Aphek. They chose a plain. Israel then mustered its army and set up supply lines, and they marched out for battle. The Israelite army looked like two little flocks of goats in comparison with the vast Aramean forces that filled the countryside. The man of God went to the king of Israel and said to him, "This is what the Lord says, the Arameans, they think that I am a god of the hills." He said, "The Arameans have said, 'The Lord is a god of the hills and not of the plains.' So I will defeat them, that this vast army, I will defeat this vast army for you. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. He's good on the mountaintop, but he's good in the valleys. The armies camped against each other. Verse 29. For 7 days, on the seventh day, the battle began, and the Israelites killed 100,000 Aramean foot soldiers in one day. The rest fled to the town of Aphek. But the wall fell on them and killed another 27,000. Ben-Hadad fled into the town and hid in a secret room. Hallelujah. The God on the mountain, the God in your good times, the God in your victories, that God can still give you victories in a valley situation. He can give you victories on the plain. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. In the mountain top, it may seem that you have your advantage is greater. In the plain, it may seem that you don't have any advantage because everything is plain and level. In the valley, it may seem that you are in a negative place. You said your advantage is lost. But in each of these altitudes, God can give you the victory, and God will give you the victory. Say a loud amen to that. In his ministry, Jesus had mountain experiences. He also had valley experiences. But everywhere Jesus was and everywhere Jesus went, he did good. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we know of this famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus sat on the mountain and began to teach and teach and teach. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." That's why where he said things like, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I mean, wonderful things. "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh, the door shall be opened." Beautiful, beautiful things on that mountain. Mountaintop experience. But the Bible says he came down from the mountain in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. "And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes gathered and followed him. And behold, there was a leper that worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.'" He moved from the place where he was teaching with power and grace. The Bible says that when people heard Jesus speak, they said, "We've never heard someone speak like this before." He speaks with power and authority. He came down the mountain and there was a leper, someone who has a disease that is contagious. These people are kept out of the crowd. They are kept away from the people. They move alone, screaming or shouting, "I'm unclean, unclean, unclean," so that everybody will clear away. Sin makes people unclean like that. Down in the valley, Jesus meets this man and he says that, "Lord, I know, if you will, you can make me clean." Look at the next verse. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." In the valley, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. In Luke chapter 9, the Bible tells us about another mountain experience Jesus had with his disciples. In verse 28, "And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James, and they went up into the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And the Bible lets us know that when you go a few verses down, the Bible talks about how God himself visited them. The disciples were saying to Jesus, let's build three temples here. Then a cloud covered them, and God spoke and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. The cloud vanished, and they saw Jesus only. What a mountain experience, a place of glory, a place of grace, a place where you hear God and experience the majesty of his son. They came down, verse 37, and it came to pass on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. What was happening? And behold, a man of that company cried out and said, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and suddenly he crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, bruising him, and hardly departeth from him. I besought your disciples to cast him out, and they could not. Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And when he was yet coming, the devil threw him and tear him, and Jesus rebuked that unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him to the father, to his father. Oh, glory. On the mountain, Jesus is Lord. In the valley, Jesus is Lord. On the mountain, he is the Son of God. In the valley, he is the Son of God. His power is unfailing. His love is unchanging. His grace, he remains the same. And tonight, I don't know which altitude you find yourself in. On a mountain where the things seem working for you and moving in your favor. Or on a plane where everything seems level and you don't know what's going to give you the edge over another or over that situation. Or you may be in a valley where it looks like things are higher than you, where it looks like you are disadvantaged. I have news for you. He's the same. He's the same everywhere. All you need is a relationship with him. All you need is to call on him. All you need is to live and walk with him. Don't leave him alone. David said in the verse we read earlier, he is my shepherd. I go with him everywhere. I follow him. Follow Jesus. If you are not born again, I urge you, don't live one more day without him. You think that life is good for you now, so you have abandoned Jesus. What will you do in the plain? And what will you do in the valley? Those things and those people who you depend on, some of them will abandon you right away. But Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Wherever you are, bow your head with me and let's pray now. You want to give your life to Jesus? You want to open up and let Jesus be your Lord? You want Jesus to be with you in your mountain situations? You want Jesus to be with you in your valley situations? You want a friend who will stick closer than a brother? You want someone who will never leave you alone? I'm introducing you to the man Jesus. Bow your head with me and say this prayer. Just mean every word. Don't just rattle. It doesn't have any effect. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Say, Father, I come to you today. I am a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sin. Forgive me and wash me with the precious blood of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came into this world, that he died for me on the cross, and that he rose again triumphantly on the third day. Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my all. Be my Lord and be my friend for life. In every situation, in every weather, in every altitude, be my God. Thank you for receiving me. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. If you've prayed this prayer, get in touch with us. Tell us what God is doing in your life. There are things that we need to help you with, to help you stand. 0249471769. Let us know what God has done in your life. I want to pray for you if you are sick or troubled. Jesus was Jesus on the mountain when he was teaching. But when he found the man who had leprosy, when he got down from the mountain, his power was still the same. He was God, when he was transfigured on that mountain, when he found this man with an epileptic child, he was Jesus and he was God all the same. Oh yes, the power of God that heals the sick is here now. Yes, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, begin to ask the Lord to heal you now, to deliver you now, to help you in that valley situation. The power of God is coming to you. The help of God is touching you right now. His presence is going to be real to you in that place where you find yourself. I'm praying for the sick now. If you are sick, lay the palm of your right hand where that sickness is. It is just a connection. It's a sign of your faith. Lift up your left hand and lay the right hand of your the palm of your right hand where that sickness is. The power of God is touching you right now. Asthma has just left somebody. Asthma has been broken from your life. Migraine headaches have left somebody. Blurred vision, difficulty seeing. It's because of a tumor in your brain. But the power of God sets you free now. That blurred vision is clearing, and it's because that tumor is shrinking. That tumor is vanishing now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, go back to the doctor who diagnosed you, and you will find that that symptom is no longer there. The blurred vision is corrected. The double vision is corrected because the tumor is taken away. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Be made whole from any infirmity, any weakness, any pain, any disease of your blood, disease of marrow. Be healed now. Be healed now. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Be made whole. Be made whole. In the name of Jesus Christ, be loosed from that infirmity. Oh yes, thank you. Receive your healing. Begin to do what you couldn't do before. Begin to look clear and see clearly. Begin to hear. If your ear was deaf, the power of God has touched you now. Begin to move. That place that gave you pain, you find the pain is no longer there. Rise up from your sick bed and begin to walk. You will see the power of God. It makes you strong. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. It's a mighty anointing in this place. Receive your healing now. Receive your healing now. I speak peace into your life. I speak peace into your home. I speak peace into your family. The joy of the Lord be your strength, and the grace of God abound to you. The Lord lifts you up out of every valley, and the Lord be your light in every dark tunnel. In the name of the Lord Jesus, may God give you the upper hand this week. May God exalt you this week. May God promote you, and may God do you well. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. This has been your pastor, Dr. Augustus, and this has been Miracle Wave Broadcast. God bless you, we love you, and we will be with you again, God willing, next week. Tell somebody about Miracle Wave Broadcast, invite them to listen. Their lives will never be the same, and you will be the reason for that. Oh, hallelujah. And call us on 0249-471-769. Send us a WhatsApp, send us a voice note. Let us know what God is doing in your life. We rejoice with you, and we celebrate His goodness with you. God bless you. We'll be with you again, God willing, next week. Goodbye.
Miracle Wave Broadcast is brought to you by Miracle Wave Church, a growing church committed to preaching Christ Jesus and doing His works today. In Kumasi, you can find us at Chichere, inside Kochi. You can get there using the Santase Kokobin Road on the Sokoban Kwauma Road. You can also locate us on GPS at Miracle Way Church Glory Temple. Call or WhatsApp Miracle Way Church on 0249-471769. You can also find Miracle Way Church on Facebook. Send your testimonies and prayer requests. We would love to hear from you and pray with you. May you experience God's goodness today. Join us same time next week for an encounter with the God of miracles. Don't doubt it. Experience it for yourself. Miracle Wave Broadcast. There is always hope and help in Jesus. Miracle Wave Broadcast. It is miracle time.